So we've been talking for so long about the coming age of the internet and politics, and certainly it's there and everybody talks about it, but what's new? I mean, what are the things that you want to accomplish in the next 2 months that hasn't been done before? Cyrus?
Well, critical content consumption is probably the most important thing.
What does that mean?
It means that people are on the web incessantly. There's some recent studies out that show users are now spending more time per week on the internet than they are on television. I personally would like to see more money shifted, to the web, and that's a work in progress. But 0.4% of the total media spend in the cycle is going to be allocated to the web. And that's just wildly off balance relative to the audience that's consuming content.
Right, we're seeing 40% of Americans have gone online to research news and information this cycle. Actually, not even this cycle, according to Pew, this year, 2008. Yet the candidates have still remained, 20 or 30 years behind in changing their media allocation to take into account shifts in media consumption.
So you've got to go where the eyeballs are, because you win elections with more eyeballs turning out at the polls. And if you want to market your product, you go to where the eyeballs are, and they're all on the internet right now.
Cyrus, I think you just stole my quote from the Washington Post article 2 weeks ago that was about you, when I said it's all about where the eyeballs go.
Well, there you go. There's the crossfire moment for stealing it. Well, but even with that small amount of spending, Cyrus, what are you doing now that wasn't possible 4 years ago?
Well, broadband has enabled the use of video in interesting ways, not only produced video from the campaigns and committees, but user-generated content, and we're seeing interesting spots appear on YouTube, and it's created a whole dynamic where the voice is now not only from the campaign but from the individual in ways that easily retrievable by the masses. So search engine marketing is also, I think, playing a much more significant role, particularly as more people seek out content.
You know, the interesting thing about internet politics has been that it's been great at rallying supporters. It's been great at raising money from supporters. It's been good at organizing. I'm not entirely sure anyone's been convinced of anything through the internet. Do either of you know of a case where you've changed people's minds politically?
Our firm worked with John Kerry's campaign in 2004, as well as the Democratic National Committee, and we executed a campaign after the third presidential debate that declared John Kerry the winner of the debate. And ads appeared on websites such as CNN.com, NewYorkTimes.com, but also on websites in 16 battleground states. The ad said, "Kerry finishes strong, ready to lead." And we conducted a poll in only the battleground states to determine whether those who were exposed to the ads actually believed Kerry had won the debate. And we saw significant increases, 10% increases in belief that Kerry finished strong and actually won the debate among those who were exposed to his ad. So yeah, there is research that shows that this is a way to actually persuade voters.
Yeah, we ran a case study in Louisiana helping elect Bobby Jindal governor, and there were some interesting results through a case study we conducted with Dynamic Logic that showed that those that interacted with our advertisements were more likely to take any number of actions, from requesting an absentee ballot to voting, and we're very pleased with the results, and it further validated that this medium and marketing on it can influence voter turnout.
Now, text messaging is still a new frontier for politics, and I know both campaigns and both political parties have been collecting all the numbers they can. Have they managed to do anything interesting with them yet? Or are they just waiting for the opportunity to have text messages make a difference?
Well, I think mobile is the newest sort of activity in this space, and it's only going to increase, particularly as more sophisticated foes that enable video consumption create that viewing experience. But email still reigns supreme in terms of generating activity, generating donations, and we're still evolving in the mobile space.
Yeah, I think we're a cycle away till we see mobile take form in any meaningful way. But we'll see. Well, I think what you can look back at 2004 and say that was the year of email and fundraising, and 2006 was the year of video, and 2008 is probably the year of social networking. I think 2 years from now, 4 years from now, we'll be able to say this was the year of mobile.
And as you both your parties are serving up interesting tidbits from the convention, you will also be collecting names and collecting information yourself, so you can target them better in the fall.
Correct. We're looking forward to growing the size of our email and mobile list.
You might as well be right up front about it. You know, that's what you did. And learning more about us. But it's interesting because I think we're used to, as consumers, dealing with this trade-off of losing some of our privacy in order to get benefits from corporations. You know, it's become a common part of working on the internet, and we're still a little wary about it with political parties and politicians. We're used to the secret vote, you know, don't try and influence me, you know, in particular. Do you think things are changing there in terms of politics, in terms of being able to give up a little bit of privacy to the candidates, Michael? Well,
social networking has certainly made people more comfortable sharing information online. I think one of the dirty little secrets is that there's been so much public information about political activities in the past, that the voter file, the actual history of your voting record, did you vote, did you not vote, who are you registered to vote for, is public. And that's been available for quite some time. But I think what we're hitting up against right now is this dichotomy where voters say and consumers say, I would pay more attention to advertising if advertising was more targeted to me. But how do we strike a balance so that we achieve that optimal level of targeting without violating the privacy of those people, the voters, consumers?
The onus really falls on us to be smarter about how we communicate with an individual who forfeits their information. In my case, when somebody signs up for MyGOP, our in-house social network, they tell us specifically the types of things they care about, the types of things they want to do, and the types of information they want to receive. And there's a tendency to want to just, you know, hit your list as broadly as possible to make sure that a message is communicated as far and wide as possible. But if somebody signs up for my GOP account and says all they really care about is energy, that's really all I should be sending them because that's what they care about and that's what they want to know about.
Yeah, but I bet
you know, we want them to know about more and more as well. So.
I bet none of them say they're interested in fundraising emails, though. I mean, there's got to be
and
a
you
balance.
Certainly send those.
Well, our email list is performing quite well for us. So if they don't want it, they're giving in droves, and we like that.
Good point.
As a final question for both of you, is there anything that corporations do now routinely that you would love to be able to do in political parties and political campaigns, Cyrus?
Yes, cross-media marketing. When corporations and traditional marketers look at their media allocation, they make sure that their portfolio is diversified enough so that they're allocating a significant amount enough to the web to make an impact. And we're falling a little short there. So I think when we look at our TV and our radio and our direct mail budgets, we need to make sure that we're putting a significant percentage over to the web.
Michael, any tricks that the Democrats could use?
Certainly. I think going on what Cyrus said, and I hate agreeing with you, Cyrus, I must admit.
But you're doing a good job.
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. Giving the internet that proverbial seat at the table and to recognize that campaigns are inherently risk averse. They're not hotbeds for research and development. We often find out from candidates they don't advertise online because there's not enough compelling research to say that they should advertise online. And because there's no research, they don't advertise online. I think I'd like to see candidates take a little more risk and try new things. And that's what Madison Avenue has done, always pushing the envelope, trying new things, tweaking here, tweaking there. And the campaign should break out of the mold of their traditional marketing budgets and try to advertise online and see that it can be used to influence the election.